Once again, I want to welcome all of you, and we thank you for tuning in through Sermon Audio on Facebook Live to this another Thursday night meditation coming to you from Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church. And it's my privilege as the speaker here this evening to take you to the Word of God and bring to you a further meditation on the subject of family matters. As I said last week, we can use the word matters in that twofold way. Family does matter, and then there are family matters that we all need to consider. And so this meditation this evening is following on in that line of thought. Let us have a word of prayer and commit our time to the Lord at this point. Our Father in heaven, we wait on before thee in the name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his word to us in the scriptures concerning the marriage, concerning family, concerning all of the different relationships within the family unit. And O Lord, we pray that as we study these matters and meditate upon them, thou wilt bless thy truth to our hearts and help us in a day when family and marital issues are under attack. And may we know what the Bible teaches and seek to stand for it and defend it with all of the grace that you give us. So be with us now. May the Holy Spirit lead and guide in our thoughts here this evening. We pray this in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen and amen. Now, please turn with me to Ephesians 5, and let's read some verses there in that epistle of Paul to the Ephesian church. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll read from the verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And God will bless the reading of his own word to our hearts. It would be impossible to address the subject of family matters without considering the ordinance of marriage. Last week, in dealing with the line of thought, the institution of the family, and we did that from Genesis chapter 2 mainly, we observed that the family is a divine institution established on the basis of the male-female relationship in marriage, and of course on the basis of creation. All of this stresses that a family can only exist and function properly within that particular framework. In the light of these scriptures already noted that we saw last week, it is very clear that any treatment of this meditation on family matters must encompass some consideration of the ordinance of marriage. This is a point that is verified by Ephesians chapter 5. In this passage, the Apostle Paul addresses husbands and wives and children as you move on into chapter 6. He is essentially, therefore, dealing with family issues. But intertwined within all that he says, all that he pens about husbands and wives and children, there is the matter of the marriage bond. And that's signified very clearly by the terms that he uses. Husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, parents, children. Those are words that are all found down through this section of Scripture. According to the divine institution of the family, all of those roles properly exist, indeed can only exist, within the family unit. And, of course, on the basis and within the framework of marriage. So Ephesians chapter 5 is one of the most instructive passages in all Scripture on the subject of marriage in relation to family life. And it's a passage that should be studied very carefully. Notice with me that the passage is dealing with marriage from the Christian point of view, the Christian perspective. Now, we know that marriage was instituted for mankind. And that, of course, was when man was first made and was unfallen, had not entered into sin. But since it was instituted for all mankind, it should therefore be observed by all men, because it is ordained of God. Since man fell and sin entered into the human race, the marriage institution has been detrimentally affected. But we must underline that though this is the case, yet it does not mean that what God originally ordained is to be set aside and is no longer relevant or applicable. Rather, it's the very opposite. And furthermore, what we're discovering here as we study Ephesians 5 and other related passages is that Paul is showing that the gospel elevates marriage and gives it something of its original bearing and its original meaning. This is wonderful because the gospel, you see, reverses what the devil has done. The devil has instigated the fall, and one of the elements of the fall is an attack upon married life and family life and so on, as we're very well aware. And yet we find that where sin has brought destruction and has marred the institution, the gospel is designed to reverse all that. And that's Paul's approach here as he writes in Ephesians chapter 5. The gospel of grace, as in all areas of life, can reverse the effects of sin in the marriage realm and cause marriage to be the blessing that God intended it to be. In analysing these verses here in Ephesians chapter 5, we actually find that there are some basic lines of thought that help us to grasp what Paul is teaching, what he is setting out to do as he writes to the Ephesian church and, of course, to Christ's church today still in this passage. There's a series of points here I want you just to think with me about in most of this little meditation this evening. We find in the first place that there is a principle in this passage. It's the principle of submission. Back in verse number 21, we have these words, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, in that verse, this exhortation to be in submission is addressed to the entire church in the city of Ephesus, and of course, therefore, by extension, to the Lord's church as a whole at any time. It is really addressing men, women, young people, all age groups, etc., in the church family. And everyone is to recognize this principle of submission. And the believer's life is to be marked by submission in every area of life, every realm of life, and including here, as Paul goes on to do, and to show, family life and married life. And so the submission that's in view here is submission to the Lord and His will. And that's something that any true Christian should want. When Paul says here, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, this is not to be thought of as being old-fashioned, draconian, something that is morbid and is harsh. That's how it would be regarded by many, submitting yourselves one to another. And people will shake their heads at this in contempt and say, that's not for me. And they will even claim to be Christian. I want you to understand tonight that this is addressed to those who are truly born again. And it is the desire of the regenerate heart to be in submission to the will of God in every area of life, as I've said, including married life, family life, husband-wife relationship, etc., etc. It will be the desire of the true Christian to to actually obey this exhortation to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. This principle of submission in every aspect of life is only possible when the believer is walking in the Spirit. The key verse in this chapter actually is verse 18, and I just focus on the final words of that verse at this point and for our purposes tonight. And the key words are, be filled with the Spirit. And the word filled there contains the sense of control. Be controlled by the Spirit. And against that background of enjoying being under the control of the Holy Spirit, Paul goes on to address this matter, among other matters, of submission, being in submission one to the other within the Church of Jesus Christ. In other words, seeking to live in harmony, seeking to worship in the bonds of fellowship and encourage each other, edify each other. It all comes from this matter of being filled or being under the control of the Holy Spirit. I want you to see that. Be filled with the Spirit. And the mark, one of the marks of being filled with the Holy Spirit is submission to the Lord. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit never leads anyone to be in rebellion against what God has said or God has revealed. We hear people talking now and then, and maybe quite a lot, I should say, something along these lines. The Holy Spirit said to me, the Holy Spirit led me. And then they'll proceed to tell you what supposedly the Holy Spirit said to them or led them to do, and you will discover that it's against the book and it's contrary, therefore, to the mind of God, because the mind of God and the will of God are revealed in the Holy Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit is the author of the book, and he will never lead anyone to be outside the will of God or be against this matter of being in submission to the will of God. It will be the very opposite. The Holy Spirit will lead us to be in submission one to another. And so we must understand this, because where there is no submission to the will of God and no submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God, then we are not under the control of the Spirit. Rather, we're under the control of the flesh. And the Lord is not present in our lives in terms of being honoured and feared and given his rightful place. The consequence will be this. There will be problems. Some of them will be large problems. And when Paul moves on here into the realm of marriage and family life, therefore, you'll find him addressing problems. And so what he's really showing you is that problems in marriage and problems in family life can all be traced back to a failure to be in submission to the Lord. Rather, there's a submission to fleshly desire, to the indulging of fleshly appetites, and that's against the Holy Spirit, and that will always lead to trouble and lead to problems. So there's a principle in this passage, excuse me, and it's important to get it right. It's the principle of submission, and it's a submission that is according to the Spirit, and it must be in the marriage realm. Otherwise, there will be problems. Then there's a priority in this passage. It is the priority that in marriage and in family life, every role should be exercised for the glory of the Lord. Again, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, in the fear of God does not denote morbidity. It does not signify being in some kind of a straitjacket. That's, again, how Scripture's misrepresented and misinterpreted. That if you're going to fear God, oh, that's a terrible thing, and you'll not be happy, and your life will be miserable, and so on and so on. On it goes. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. It's a lie. It's a lie from the devil. And we must nail that lie. To be in the fear of God is to enjoy life. The fear of God here is really contains the idea of a glad surrender to what the Lord has shown us, because the Lord knows better than we do. The Lord is all wise. And the Lord knows exactly what is good for his people. And therefore what's good for us in married life, family life, etc. He knows far better than we do. And therefore we come before him and we have a fear for him that is reverential. That's what it means. A fear for him that is loving. It's like the true love of a little child for that child's father or mother. Because the child knows instinctively what my father and my mother want for me and reveal to me in terms of household rules, etc., etc., are for my good. And therefore, I want to be in submission to them because it will be beneficial for me and it will be helpful for me. And that's right. And so there's the very same thing here. We're to be in submission to the Lord because we have a fear of him in that sense of a reverential fear, a loving fear. We know that what he has for us is far better, infinitely better than anything else that could be presented. And so in this kind of fear, and I put it that way because we've got to get it right. This is the priority that's in this passage. Having a true fear of the Lord, a loving, reverential fear, knowing that what God has willed for us is for our good. And in that fear, husbands, wives, and children are to fulfill their roles. What it really means is this priority is the priority of glorifying the Lord. Now, if you look at verse number 22, the next verse, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." Then it says, "as unto the Lord." And the last three words are vital. As unto the Lord. The first words are very important too. But the last three words give to you the right flavor of what Paul is saying here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now, that would be, what Paul says there, that would be contrary to the thinking of the world today. The feminist movement would reject this completely. Liberal thinking would cast scorn on this. Would say to women, throw this over. Overthrow this kind of teaching. Don't be in submission to anybody. Just do your own thing. Assert yourself. Friend, that's the language of the fallen nature. That's the language of the great enemy of God. Telling anyone to take a course that overthrows God's institutions and God's ways is not the language of the Holy Spirit. It is rather the language of a fallen world and an enemy, Satan himself, who seeks to subvert and pervert all that God has ever said. You see, it says here, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And the thought is this, when a Christian wife realizes and understands that the Lord's will for me is to be in submission to my Christian husband, and I will obey that injunction, that Christian wife is doing this for the Lord's sake. For his glory, in other words. And for his honour and for his praise. Now see that, because that is important. Very, very important to understand. And I want you to grasp what this priority is. Is this priority of having a fear of the Lord, and it's marked by this particular matter of seeking to do what's according to his will for his glory and for his honour and for his praise. When he comes to the husband, he says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. He brings the Lord in again. And he shows to the husband how the Lord loved the church. And he's saying to the husband, you pattern your love for your wife off how the Lord loved or does love his church. And essentially it's a sacrificial love, as we will see at some point in these meditations. Because he says, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 25, the love of the husband is to be sacrificial and self-denying. And so if he's going to glorify God, if he's going to walk in submission to the Spirit and demonstrate that he's filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, then he will love his wife in this manner. Chapter 6 and verse number 1 refers to children. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. He keeps bringing the Lord in. He keeps bringing our relationship with the Lord in. He keeps bringing the gospel in other words. And this is vital to understand. Paul doesn't merely lay down a set of rules and regulations and say, there you are, I'm putting you into a straitjacket. No, he's saying to the Lord's people, here's how to enjoy your married life and your family life. And here's how to enjoy your relationship one with the other in that context of home and family. It is to do it all as unto the Lord. And let me tell you, when that is the case, then homes will be happy. Homes will be harmonious. And there will be a blessing in those homes that will not be there if these matters are not given the attention that they ought to have by those who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, thirdly, there's a program in this passage. It's the vital program that we've already noted to some degree, to present the Christian view of marriage. And that's really what Paul is also doing here. He's teaching this, he's setting this all out so that the Ephesian church will live this way in their context of the first century, which, remember, was a pagan world. Read Romans 1. Read the end of that chapter. And you will discover that the world of Paul's day was vile, it was pagan, it was heathen, it was filled with darkness and rebellion and every sin under the sun. And this is the kind of world in which these Ephesians, like other New Testament churches, had to live for God. And so what he's really doing here is he's correcting their thinking, because they came out of paganism, these people, and they had lived in a manner that was contrary to what this passage teaches. And therefore, Paul, through his instruction, is showing them, here is how you're to live the Christian life with regard to the realm of marriage. And thereby, his program, the program that he's setting out, is be a witness for Christ by having a marriage like this, and a home life like this, and a husband-wife relationship like this, and a parent-child relationship like this. And as you do this, then you will send out a message to a fallen world that you're the Lord's, that you belong to him. And this is what God can do for you. Because you see, where the opposite is the case, as of course is still so much, universally, that the prevailing factor of today, then there's misery. There's unhappiness. There is sorrow. There's heartache in homes, families, the breaking up of marriages wholesale, etc., etc., etc. The whole perversion of the realm that we're looking at here. That's the case. That's the case today, and that's what's going on. And therefore, we've got to grasp this, that as we live in this matter before a fallen world, that's God's program for sending out a message to a fallen world that will tell those people, here's what God can do for you. I tell you today, a good home, a Christian home, a happy, harmonious, Christ-like relationship sends out the gospel to the world all around and lets people see this is what the Lord can do for them as well as for those who are enjoying that life that the Lord has given them. I pray that tonight God will bless his word to your hearts, and that you'll tune in again next week as we come back to another episode, another issue of Family Matters. Father in heaven, bless thy word, use it for thy glory, and may it have a powerful impact upon many souls. We pray this all for Christ's sake and for God's eternal glory. Amen.